Lord, there are many of us that have no desire whatsoever to be in hand-to-hand combat with anybody. Yet at times we have no choice in these matters when it comes to the dark kingdom of Satan. Please help us to understand that you will never bring more to us than you know we are able to withstand, that you are always right there by our side, you will always give us instruction, and you will always be the force and the power that we are working through, not our own strength. No weapon formed against us will prosper, is your promise. You always have a reason for what you allow in our lives. So please help us to learn well, listen carefully to your instructions, and obey them swiftly in faith and trust. Amen. Continuing now with the Armor of God series, we turn to our offensive weapons, the swords. The Lord has taught us as heart dwellers about four different ones: the sword of the Spirit, the routing sword, the truth and discernment sword, and the healing sword, which is formed by crossing the routing and truth swords. As we on the prayer team have been using our swords over the past months, we have also found there are even more swords that can be formed and used for different reasons. But before we get into any of that or their uses, I want to put on some huge warning stickers. The first warning is from the Lord Himself to Claire when she was seeking discernment about what I would be telling her about the swords when I began using them. He said to her, "My heart is to bless her with the weapons you all need so desperately, along with the courage to believe in them and use them to the fullest. But if any of this should go to their heads with an attitude, I will allow a fall to bring them back to their senses. I wanted you to know the sword teachings are a breakthrough for my bride. She walks on earth, but lives in heaven. And when you walked in heaven, all you had to do was to think it, and it appeared right before you." Please take special note of the "go to their heads" part. Pride, self, revenge, nothing of this sort is to be used when we are called into warfare. This is all His work, for His kingdom, and fully under His direction. I just can't emphasize this to you enough, just as He has been teaching me for many months now. Humility and waiting for direction from Holy Spirit is the key. If you can't hear Jesus or Holy Spirit, ask for instructions, wait for an idea to form, and then discern it with your BP. Jesus is in total control, always, over what He allows to come to you, and He is never in rush mode. He is teaching us, not hurrying us to make a decision. Once we have an idea of what He wants us to do, we always need to confirm it through our gut, through the BP, or whatever means that you have found solid in discernment with Him. I have never been in a situation where a demon has approached me and that I felt in actual danger if I didn't do something about it right now. No matter how they present themselves or how fearful you may feel about it all, we never need to act under our flesh. And I've faced a few dragons even, but I'll go into that later on. The second warning is from an email from one of the team who has found herself in strong battles over the past months. She told me, "It has been on my heart since last night, as I was thinking about speaking to another heart dweller interested in the weaponry and these aspects of fighting in the spirit. I was given the impression that everyone begins at the very beginning with the two swords, the routing and truth swords we were given, with the armor of God and, of course, the sword of the Spirit and its accoutrements, that we should approach with humility, patience, and a true desire to help and do the Lord's will, and that from this, lessons will begin. But if we have any sense of anger, retribution, retaliation, or self-righteousness, it will block or slow down the teachings significantly. We are here to do His will, and we are here to do what is necessary. The third warning is from the Lord to me directly. He said to me, when you begin to write more of the armor information, express clearly what you have been pondering. The weapons, the armor, all of it can be designed very, very specifically to the need, even in a moment's time. But it must start with the bare bones. And the person using it cannot design their own without completely depending on Holy Spirit's leading, or it will not end well, just like your friend saw, just like I showed you last night. I was in warfare with a demon pretty close up, and my first gut reaction was fear, and when I calmed myself down again, I did what he trained me to do, reach out to Holy Spirit, wait, ask, and wait for him to instruct me. Jesus continued, if you had grabbed just anything and gone charging in under your own steam of fear, nothing would have happened. I wasn't about to allow them to do anything to you. But, well, you played that well last night, looking to me, not yourself, or even what you've learned. Always go back to the bare basics, and if Holy Spirit wants you to improve on it, he will let you know clearly. So as I pondered just what and how to share these things with you, I thought it would be wise to go back into the former messages the Lord has given the channel and see just where he began teaching us about swords. The first occurrence was interesting to me. It was a quote from one of Rick Joyner's books, The Final Quest. Rick said, I saw a demonic army so large it stretched as far as I could see. The weapons carried by this horde had names on them. The swords were named Intimidation. This caught my eye, because intimidation is just what they like to bring against any of us when we start contemplating using the weapons the Lord has given us. If the enemy can convince us that we somehow hold the responsibility to defeat them, they've already won the battle. No, the battle is always the Lord's. The next time I saw mention of swords, Jesus was outlining what he'd been emphasizing to me and others of the team. We must begin any battle with trust in Jesus, not ourselves. Jesus said to Claire, when I see a soul who within their heart carries infinite trust in me, I cannot deny them what is right for them. So you, right now, have in your possession the weapon of all weapons, the words, Jesus, I trust in you. Say this from the heart every single time the enemy insinuates anxiety and fear. Yes, this will be your breakthrough confession. Repeat it often, totally ignoring the demon's remarks. Your proper response is complete deafness to their lies and a simple confession to me, Jesus, I trust in you. End of story. That is your greatest weapon, my brides. Don't you think the devils are very clever with reasoning? I tell you, they are. What they don't have or understand is faith. It is completely foreign to them, and yet it defeats them every single time. What he said here yet again underlines why we must daily pray our armor on, have already picked up the shield of faith in our hands, before we draw a sword. More than anything else, Holy Spirit in particular has taught me that I must trust him to guide me as to what I'm to do versus what he and the angels are going to do. And if I don't have full trust that Jesus is the one bringing me into this battle, and the calm and quiet faith that he is leading me, nothing may happen, or the situation may become even worse. I've found if I'm presented with a demon, if the first thing I do is look to Holy Spirit and ask him, what do I do with this? He will put the ideas in my mind, answer that question with the BP, or however he is communicating with me at that time. I don't always hear his actual voice. As you communicate with him and the Lord more and more, you will know him and hear him more and more, in whatever ways he chooses to speak to you. It's so important to establish with him and Jesus untouchable confirmations. Things like the numbers on a clock, the numbers on your computer, the songs that come on your random shuffle of music, rhemas from the books. Once you know and can truly depend on these things that can't be manipulated, he can even signal you his intentions through these. I took note of Mary's numbers at 4:44 one morning, and I'm very glad I did. I knew she was telling me, "I am with you," because soon after, I was faced with an extended period of attack, and her presence was a great comfort. He has also told me that there are some demons who will withstand the cut and burn of a sword if used by me, under my opinion of how to handle it, and that would leave me open to their approach. But they cannot resist the combination of my will to renounce and reject them, coupled with the swords I have to use under the Lord's direction, or to give to the angels if I'm instructed to, so that it is their skill and strength in battle, not mine. I have no wisdom or skill of my own in this. I can only listen carefully and follow instructions. This all takes good discernment, another oh-so-important tool the Lord wants us to advance in every single day. We need all of these things to live victoriously in this world now. Faith, trust in Jesus, and good discernment. So, having established what we must have when we are wielding these swords, let's go on to describing each one he has given us so far, and then a few testimonies of some engagements with the enemy from our team. I'll start with the sword of the Spirit, since it was the first to be given in our armor. Ezekiel and several others have seen this sword, and this is how Ezekiel described it. He said he's had the Spirit sword sitting in the middle of his cot for days now, and he can see it. So I asked him to describe what he saw. He said the handle was 5 to 6 inches long to the handguard, and then the blade about 4 feet tall and about 3 inches wide. It was finely crafted. What else would do for heaven? He told me it had normal yellow and red flames coming up in a roar from it, but there was also a blue and white part. The first time I was told to use this sword, I'd been fighting to clear out some strongholds that had passed down to me through my family bloodlines. I had been praying against these daily for months, calling out the names every single day, renouncing and rejecting them and binding them. Pride, fear, doubt, unbelief, guilt, logic, these were my nemesis. Every day I spoke out loud that I rejected and renounced them and all their work against me, and then I would use the patterns of the binding prayer to bind them and cast out demons from them. But this day, Holy Spirit took me to where these strongholds had been built. The next portion is from my journal. Where I was looked like a vast underground cavern to me. I had felt the stirred-up energy of these strongholds against me, especially when I would go into prayer over someone else, and especially when praying the rosary or chaplet prayers. My body would literally feel like it was vibrating inside in response to the pain these prayers was causing the demons. So when I looked around this dark place I now found myself in, I saw their eyes, hundreds of them, only eyes, all around me. Holy Spirit told me to pull the sword of the Spirit, and I did. I asked for further instruction, and he told me to ignite it with holy fire. It burned with a blue aura, not really a flame, more of a glow. I asked what to do next, and he told me to simply set it, handle down, on the ground before me and watch. These swords, as far as I've seen, are so incredibly balanced they will stay in an upright position without any visible means of sitting on something, suspended, so to speak. The aura increased, but it didn't really spread out and encase the eyes. Yet as I watched, I saw their mouths bound with wide, fabric-like bindings, yet not their eyes. I see them now. Some are afraid. Some are furious. I saw their bodies restricted like the wrap they put a mental patient in. And as this happened, the vibrations in me stopped. Lord, I've known you are showing me the power and function of these tools for more than just, wow, look at that. I've submitted to this vibration as an offering to you. Indeed, it grows very strong at times when I'm in prayer. Are you now asking me not to submit, but rather subdue it? And Jesus answered me that day, No, but I want you to know you can, if you need to, or choose to, if it becomes too much to bear. This is one way to quell it back. Somewhat like the order Ezekiel was given, the law of encroachment. This is one of the functions of the Spirit's sword, to silence and still the voices and works of the enemy. I leave their eyes exposed, so they are forced to watch, powerless. I have my reasons in that. I am the commander of the armies of heaven, beloved. You would call this a man thing, yet it is far more than that, far more. There is no reason to fear, not even fear demons. You have touched into my strength in ways you're not even aware of. This is love, my beloved. This is the power of love. Perfect love casts away all fear, is not just a saying. When you stand in my perfect love and return it, you are strong with courage. Hold on to this. This is what I wanted you to see. You cannot flinch for even a moment, but they are right there. You have seen this with other demons. Fear is the same. All of them work the same. They stand at the ready, bow and arrows poised. Yes, just as you are seeing it now. Scribe this, my love. I see them like hunters following a deer in the woods. Silent, patient, standing with bow drawn up, arrow in the nock, waiting for the perfect shot. To explain what he was telling me and assuring me about a little more, fear has been the highest demonic oppression that I've had my entire life from the time I was a very little child. And this particular stronghold that he was fighting for me, with me, was a stronghold of fear. Further on in my journal, we were speaking of not allowing fear any foothold when using the swords. And the Lord told me, Face each one, fearless, my love, fearless. Perfect love casts out all fear of addressing them. This is what you sense inside, the lack of fear to face them, just as you just did. No worries about what if, just plain courage. It is all based in me, the trust in me, the power of the tools, the swords I have given you. What you do not see, and I do, is that you are not hesitating to draw these swords when needed. Do you see, my love? You are wearing them, significantly, understanding that they are just tools in a fashion, like a coat you must draw closer around you. Yes, the sweater you wear in the office. When it grows colder from the window, do you hesitate to draw it closer? Even zip it? Even draw the shawl around you as well? No. You simply do what must be done to take care of the situation. And that's what he wants you to know from this, that if we are fully armored and our swords are all in place because we've drawn them and placed them, we have nothing to fear. It's not our power. It's his. And we have no reason to fear. He will give us the courage to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. I've never been asked to use this sword directly in any other way except to bind with. But as we will see a little later, it can be joined to the other swords for a different purpose. Next is the routing sword, which is the first additional sword the Lord brought to the channel. Jesus told us in August of 2018, Now I want you to understand that these swords will accomplish a great deal. The first is a routing sword, used to deliver you from demonic infestations. It is a warfare sword and resides on your right shoulder. Use this to behead and cut to pieces all demons coming after you. It is a very powerful weapon, but it must be used with conviction and resolve. In other words, believe that I have given you a powerful weapon, and use it strong and steadfast in that belief. It will do tremendous damage to the enemy. When I pull the routing sword from its scabbard on my right side, the first thing I do is speak to ignite it with holy fire. Now I have a weapon that is a combination of a very sharp, double-sided blade, surrounded with holy fire to burn to ashes everything that's been cut apart. When I use this sword, I am using it with the firm intention to do this to whatever I am speaking against. And then I ask the angels to sweep it all down into the abyss, permanently. I have been instructed by Holy Spirit to do things with the routing sword, and up until several months ago it has always been sent towards a demon at a distance, or sent to help someone else. I had been sending swords to Claire and Ezekiel for weeks, and I live in Pennsylvania, and they live in New Mexico. It was easy to send off swords and watch them from here, but one morning Holy Spirit began giving me lessons on how to use it against an enemy in my own personal space. The next few segments are from my journal, starting back in January of this year. I was somewhat squeamish at the idea of beheading something right near me. I have no desire to be violent against anybody or anything, not even a demon. I don't squash bugs. The demons don't respond to these swords with blood and gore like a human would. In fact, I've seen a dozen different things happen. Some just fell apart. Some exploded. Some blew up like I had just popped a balloon. I have no idea why I see these things. If the Lord's protecting me from the ugly things I don't want to see. But I still hated having to be violent. And the first one he allowed to come that close knew this. From my journal, I was hearing a voice that sounded like the Lord's, but as it spoke, it didn't feel right. I had pulled a couple of BP readings, but they were rather vague, and my gut wasn't buying it. But I knew it was near me, and I hesitated. Then it spoke to me. If you're so sure I'm a demon, kill me. Get out that famous sword and disembowel me. See? You hesitate. Well, at that, I got out the routing sword, ignited it with holy fire, and spoke his fate. I bound and silenced him, raised the sword, and sliced him from the top of his head down to the ground, and each half, as well as every tool and weapon he had, into the charge of the angels that were there. I asked they send him off to the abyss, and proclaim loudly that Jesus is king to all there, for as long as the Lord ordained. That's one of Ezekiel's favorite things, to tell the demons that they are to go and walk through the bowels of hell for an extended period of time, proclaiming Jesus the Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Another journal entry began, I sensed a movement to my left, and sensed something put its arm around me and snuggle up to me. But you, Jesus, are never on my left. I wondered if this could be a change. So I challenged it, and I asked Holy Spirit for a BP reading. He gave me hospitality, which to me means use your gift. The one gift Holy Spirit has been training me in was a gift from Papa himself, of being able to know without actual spiritual sight a sense of what was happening around me. So I started to focus on this spirit. Once I sensed it, and it knew I could see what it was doing now, it began drooling and licking my ear. Oh, Lord, how disgusting they are! I pulled my routing sword, lit it with holy fire, and asked my guardian angel, Emmanuel, to please help me. Holy Spirit prompted me to pray in tongues, and then sever it right down the middle, head to foot, and bind everything to it. As I prayed in tongues, I saw it leave, but then I knew I had to draw my sword yet again. I was in some very dark place now, and I couldn't see what was around me. But I was prompted while Holy Spirit prayed to fling my sword out and around me in every direction. Each time it circled me, I saw a path of flame form in every direction 360 degrees, until I was encircled with flame. And wherever I was, whatever had been there, was now gone. Over the months of asking Holy Spirit just how else the routing sword can be used, he's taught us the following ways. I send one of these swords to encircle myself perpetually in all directions, every day as I put on my armor. I also send them to others the same way, to help keep them safer from the world and the devils in general. I do this each morning over my family, my friends, and the other heart dwellers. I also send them to each room in my house to perpetually circle each room, and throughout my property outside, cutting free and burning everything, trying to enter any door, window, or portal, coming into my home or property, burning it all to ash. And then I make sure to cover each door, window, and portal with the blood of Jesus. The last thing I do in the mornings is send this sword against curses. I cut them in half and speak to drain all power from them to the ground, burn to ash. When I do this, I am careful to cut these curses free from the people sending them. I send holy fire to the demons behind these people, but I always make sure to send a blessing to the people themselves. I want their eyes open to the truth of what they are doing and just who they are serving, and open to my beloved Jesus. Not too long ago, I had a fake Jesus familiar spirit waltz into my office and cozy up just to my right side. Just moments before this, I had seen a large angel come into the room, accompanied by a group of about 10 more angels. He came to just quietly sit on my daybed near my feet, while the others stood near the swords suspended in the air. I do this in each room I go in, especially my office. I suspend a copy of all three swords so the angels would have free use to them, free access. Because both of these things happened nearly at the same time, I made the assumption the spirit I sensed next to me really was Jesus. It felt like him at first. I was feeling very lonely at the time, thinking how nice a hug from the Lord would be just then. And so, in my assumption, I made the mistake of not challenging this spirit immediately. But within a few seconds, I knew something wasn't right. So I finally challenged the one next to me. When I found out the truth, I asked Holy Spirit what to do about it all, and he talked me through dealing with it. This time, I was to take the routing sword against it, then deliver what was left to my guardian angel to dispose of. It was only then that I found out the angel at my feet had seen the demon's approach and his intent towards me. He had been assigned to take care of it, if its deception had not been found out right away by me. Oh, how we need to always thank our Lord and Father God for these precious guardians that they set over us daily. The next sword the Lord has given us is the sword of truth and discernment. This sword I ignite with the light of heaven. I want it to reveal all things of the dark kingdom, all liars, anything that is not truth, anywhere near me. When the Lord first gave these to us, he instructed Claire by saying, "Bless your computer and the Rhema pages before you click on them. When discerning a situation, brandish your sword in a circle around your head and say, 'In the name of Jesus the Christ, every unclean spirit, leave and do not return.' This will help with the enemy's tricks. So when I come to my prayer desk in the morning, I draw one of each of the swords, ask that they be ignited with all the power heaven has granted them, and suspend them in the center of the rooms. I keep one truth sword perpetually suspended close to my left side. I want the light of truth always as close to me as I can have it, and for it to be brilliantly shining out around me, to reveal the approach of the liars and others from the dark kingdom. Others on the team take this sword and literally anoint their books, computer, even their minds and eyes, so they can see the truth clearly by holding the sword to these places. Others, as Jesus said, circle them around their head. I then ask my guardian angel, Emmanuel, to take all these swords, duplicate them, and distribute them to every room, so that every angel can receive them on every part of my house and property. They know best what to do with them. I am merely supplying them. So those are the three basic swords we've been given. In the last and fifth part of this series, we'll examine how they can be combined to form other swords with yet other uses. May the Lord bless and give you courage to stand up to the demons and always seek Holy Spirit when you are called into battle with the dark kingdom.